1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. It is Feldis and Kale. Great to have you along with us. And we are brought to you by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. A little bit later on the show, we'll be joined by Amy Hall, the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion. So, Dan, all set on this Thursday?
On this Thursday. And, you know, yes. It's great to have Amy joining us. We also have the general, Don Boldock, joining us.
That is today. Correct. And he will tell us about his great St. Patty's Day. We'll take a break. Feldis and Kale will continue on 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. It's Feldis and Kale, proudly brought to you by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And we are very honored to have on the show General Don Boldock, candidate for U.S. Senate in 2022. And General Boldock, how are you today?
I am well. I hope you both you gentlemen are doing well, and my best to all your listeners.
Thank you, sir. And I know I heard and saw from reliable sources that you had yourself quite a St. Patrick's Day dinner.
I did. You know, I was invited to that dinner by Mike and Carl from Abel Ebenezer. Became great friends with them during the last election cycle. You know, both veterans, combat veterans, just great guys. And they were teaming up with Amy LaBelle and LaBelle's Winery and her husband, Caesar, and the chef, Peter, to put together a five-course dinner matching different types of wines and beers with the five-course meals. You know, the pork belly salad. They had a chicken on rice. They had the prime rib. Then, of course, they had the dessert. It was just unbelievable. And I got to tell you, the best thing was listening to their stories and how they were able to take care of their business, take care of their people, and balance keeping their businesses open through, you know, creativity, initiative, imagination through the COVID crisis. So, I mean, those stories that they told as they introduced each course of the meal along with the wine and the beer were absolutely inspirational. And there was probably 50 people in the room, spread out, you know, accordingly. It was a banquet room.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, what a wonderful opportunity to spend the evening with some great small business people here in New Hampshire.
Oh, they do a great job at LaBelle Winery. There's no doubt about that. And glad you had a great St. Patty's Day. And, you know, you're talking about small businesses. They have certainly been impacted by the pandemic. And I know you've been pretty vocal of late on social media of Governor Sununu's handling of this pandemic, calling for him to open up the state no later than April 15th.
That's correct. I think we're well beyond the point where the state needs to be opened. You know, I base that off of the science. I base that off of the research, paying attention, visiting, talking with other residents from other states. Most recently, my wife and I came back from Arizona, and we saw the Arizona model. And there's no reason why New Hampshire can't be open for business now. I think we knew what we needed to know after 90 to 120 days into this. And I just think it's prudent now to get our kids back to school, get our full-time, get our businesses open, get our places of worship open, and start transitioning from a message of fear, uncertainty, and dependence to one of self-determination, initiative, self-determination, you know, and that don't tread on me attitude that the people of New Hampshire are so famous for.
General Dan Feldis here. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Good, good. General, thank you for being on, and thank you for your service to our country. Can you tell the listeners one or two things that you learned serving our country that you think comes in a valuable course for you while seeking a role in the U.S. Senate?
Yes, certainly. I think that my military experience, both with, you know, national security as it pertains to what we do internationally and what we do here at home, is a huge distinction between myself and the current Senator Maggie Hassan, and Governor Sununu. I have the national security experience that the governor doesn't have. And I think going into 2022, national security and all the elements of national security, economy, fiscal responsibility, safety and security of Americans, I have that. And I worked at the highest levels of government. And I did it going inside a system, going from private to general. And I worked in the, 28 different countries in Africa, Afghanistan, 10 tours, numerous countries, probably every country in the Middle East, three quarters of the country of the world. I've been involved in helping other countries with their border situations, with their economy, with their fiscal responsibility, security, governance, and development. And we need statesmen in the U.S. Senate. I just don't think that being governor of the state of New Hampshire is an entree to the Senate. I think we need to start looking at the person, and we need to start looking at the qualifications. I don't think that name recognition or legacy political name gets you there either. I think we've been making a mistake drifting far away from voting for the best person and becoming too party-centric. So I think the military gives me a broad experience dealing with a lot of different people in a lot of different challenging circumstances that many people don't have. Proven leadership skills, understanding how to make large bureaucratic systems work effectively. Got a lot of experience there. And I got to tell you, I'm an outsider. I'm not part of the establishment. I'm an outsider. I'm free to work for the people of New Hampshire in a way that career politicians just can't. So I'll stop there.
In general, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was getting schools reopened and helping support our small businesses. In the American Rescue Plan that recently passed, there's hundreds of millions of dollars to support school reopening, including New Hampshire, hundreds of millions of dollars for our towns and cities to support property taxpayers and support for restaurant owners in that legislation. Your likely primary opponent, Governor Chris Sununu, has gone on the record opposing the American Rescue Plan. How would you have voted if you were in the U.S. Senate on the American Rescue Plan?
Well, the American Rescue Plan, I think, had a lot of great things in it for Granite Staters and the American people. Unfortunately, it had a lot of bad things in it as well. And I think that if I was in the United States Senate, I would have been able to work better across the aisle with people to get that rescue plan honed down, so we weren't giving so much to foreign countries and others. I got to tell you, I was disappointed with the rescue plan in that 9% of it is dealing with our number one crisis, and that was COVID. I am glad that, there's money in there to help Americans and to help Granite Staters, but it's all in how we spend it. Remember, we got three bills before that where we haven't spent all that money that was dedicated to education and so on and so forth, and we need to do that as well. And I think $1.9 trillion was really fiscally irresponsible. So I would have had some definite issues with it, but I think with my experience and my approach, I could have got something more focused and better. And, if we're just going to do a COVID bill, then we should do just the COVID bill. And I came up with an $80 billion recommendation for that. And then address other bills. I think the biggest problem we have in Congress is the whole process and how bills get passed, the omnibus bill process, too much pork, less focus on what the problem is. So, Governor Sununu, I would have had some issues with it, but what I read, his biggest issue was that he wasn't getting as much money as other states, and I'm not for the bailout, whether either for New Hampshire or for any other state. We got to get away from bailing out states, and I saw that was his number one issue was he wasn't getting as much money because New Hampshire, the formula they used was the percentage of unemployment, which is good news for us. And we should be lauding that. And we should be looking at how we can be self-sufficient and help Granite Staters by opening the state.
In general, New Hampshire does get the 12th most per capita of any other state. It does get less than it did per capita. Excuse me, less than it did in the prior equation, but still 12th most per capita. I think that, you know, as you highlighted, there's a lot of good things in there. This will be, to some degree, a centerpiece of the 2022 election, both in the primary and the general election, the American Rescue Plan. So if in fact, it was not pared down, as you suggested, would you have been a no vote like Chris?
I would have been a no vote, yes.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for. I would have been a no vote, yes.
Now, General, the bill seems to have popularity among many people in the country. I contend that it's popular because they're getting $1,400 in their wallet, and they mm-hmm. haven't really delved too deep into the rest of the bill. They're happy about getting $1,400 extra bucks, and I think that's why, right now anyway, it's popular. But when they dig a little deeper, I think they might feel otherwise.
Well, you know, and when they start seeing that $1,400 is going to come out of their pocket in the form of higher taxes, they're really going to be upset. And that's my issue with the fiscal irresponsibility that we're seeing in Congress. Listen, I'm not against giving hand up. I am against giving hand out. And this, in large part, was a handout bill that is spending money that this country just doesn't have. And we have to be more responsible. And the message that's delivered by our political leaders has to be one of self-determination and initiative, not one of dependence and uncertainty. And if you rely on us, we'll give you everything that you need. Oh, and by the way, guess what? We're going to follow that up by taking it out of your pocket, by raising your taxes, because that is what is coming. Economy, fiscal responsibility, and the safety and security of Americans is essential to our national security. And we are missing the boat on all three of those, whether it is irresponsibility with border policies and immigration policies, fiscal responsibility by spending money that we just don't have, and not looking at better ways to improve the economy and to me, that's opening up our economy, and that's getting people back to work and saying, hey, listen, we got to all tighten our belt. I had to tighten my belt. I took a pay cut in my job, and I was glad to do it, pitch in. And more importantly, I was glad to keep my job. And so we all, in a crisis, as it has been identified, have to tighten up the belt. My sons lost their jobs. We had to figure something out. They moved into the house. My grandchildren are a year behind now in their schooling because we haven't opened our schools yet. And this idea that we should sign a letter thanking Governor Sununu for all his great leadership and bringing all the great work and leadership he's shown in our education, that's wrong. That's not the case. They're out of touch. And the New Hampshire GOP, in their last two newsletters, has touted this great work he's done for the education of our children. Well, I'm sorry, but not my grandchildren, and not the children in my neighborhood, and not the children of parents that I meet in all 10 counties, you're not doing it. And I would never sign a letter thanking him for a job that he's not doing properly. Come on, let's get to some reality here. And the NHGOP, come on, guys. You can't put this in your newsletter. You're going to lose credibility with the people that know their lives are tough, their livelihood, their family, their future. I listened to Gene Shaheen and Maggie Hassan's phone call last night, and guess what? People are afraid, and they're afraid because of the fear and uncertainty with the 83 executive orders that, in part, that Governor Sununu has put in place, and the fact that our senators haven't been communicating with anybody. They've been leading by newsletter, photo ops, behind their desk and from their home. Where are they on the ground? Where are they rolling up their sleeves, sharing in the burden? No, They're taking pay raises and benefit raises. They're collecting their checks. They're working while the rest of America is not. It's wrong.
Our guest on Feldis and Kale is General Don Bolduc, and General Bolduc is a candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2022. And bring folks up to date, bring our listeners up to date, General Bolduc, on what you're doing now. I mean, I know you're on the campaign trail, but you're teaching as well.
I am. I'm a full-time professor at New England College. I'm very honored and proud to have that be in my second year there. And I, you know, love the school. I think President Perkins and Wayne Lesperance doing a great job balancing, you know, how we can teach. I mean, I'm an on-campus teacher, and I go on campus to teach. I get my COVID test every 30 days. I wear my mask. I'm respectful. I think, you know, some of the lessons that we've learned about this is we need to be more respectful with each other. Coming from Arizona, they got an open state. Kids are going to school full time. Businesses are open. People can wear masks or not wear masks. Some stores require it. Some don't. You just are respectful. You clean up after yourself. You wash your hands. You do all. These are the lessons that we should learn. I went to Catholic school. And, you know, if you didn't wash your hands before and after recess, before and after you ate, you know, I mean, you got held accountable for these things. And so bringing all this stuff back is good. Raising the awareness is good. But we got to figure out how to get past these extremes and how to start respecting each other and not finger pointing and blaming. And that's what I'm trying to do, right? I'm recognizing the faults on both sides. Not that I'm perfect, right? Not that I have all the answers, because I don't. But I'm willing to admit my mistakes, and I'm willing to say, hey, you know, I got that one wrong, and make up for it. But that's not what we see in this political environment. We have extremes, right? I've been a candidate now since November. The New Hampshire GOP has yet to recognize my candidacy. Refused to recognize my candidacy. Why? Because I'm not an establishment guy. I'm not a status quo guy, right? I don't have a legacy last name. They're not recognizing my campaign. And so now I am gearing up for a fight against the establishment. Again, this time, I don't want to fight. I just want a fair chance to run. Fair chance to run on ideas. Ideas that unify. You know, you got people on the left, people on the right. We got to bring them together. And we can't sit out here in these extremes. And I believe that Maggie Hassan and Kristen Unu represent the extreme. They represent the establishment. They represent non-unit. They represent career politicians who are self-serving and working for themselves. And I'm a Republican, and I'm willing to admit Republican faults, recognize Democrat faults, and say, let's come together for the greater good and make this work. I do it in my classroom. I do it on campus. I do it everywhere I go. I walk through a parking lot with no mask on. When I get near anybody, I put my mask on. When I'm going into an establishment that says mask required, I put my mask on, and I treat people with respect. That's what we should be doing. But instead, we're finger pointing, we're yelling at each other. I had someone from the other side of the parking lot one day. I was out with my dog in a remote area of the parking lot, make a beeline for me and start yelling at me because I didn't have a mask on. Well, there's nobody around me. I got my two dogs. We're playing catch. I said, if you stayed on the other side of the parking lot, it wouldn't have been a problem for you. This kind of stuff, we need leadership to get us through, you know. Senator Feltis asked me, hey, you know, what is the big difference you have? It's called leadership. It's called leadership in a variety of environments. Peacetime, crisis, humanitarian, wartime, bringing people together for the greater good.
You're listening to WKXL, Feltis and Kale on WKXL, 103.9 FM, 1450 AM. Our guest today is General Don Bolduc, candidate for U.S. Senate on the Republican side. And General, you're talking about bringing people together, talking about leadership. You know, if you win the primary, win the general election, how will you go about bringing people together?
Well, you know, first and foremost, when I get down to Washington, D.C., the first call I'm going to make and the first person I'm going to visit is going to be Gene Shaheen. And she's, because she's going to be the senior, senator. And we have to figure out how we're going to work together to solve some of these key problems. And we're going to have to move out together in order to get this done. Will we agree on everything? Probably not. For instance, she's pro-choice, I'm pro-life. But we should agree on matters that help the economy, matters of fiscal responsibility, basic matters of safety and security of Americans, the threat internationally to this country from China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. We should be able to sit down and come together as statesmen, because that's what we need there. We need statesmen, people that think about the safety and security of this country, about national security. So the first thing I'm going to do is develop a relationship with Senator Shaheen, a relationship that helps the people in New Hampshire so that we can get at the opioid crisis, so that we can get at mental health crisis, so that we can get at the contaminated water that we have here that we need to solve, and how we can help our state with their infrastructure and protecting their critical infrastructure, and how we can help this state increase its broadband so we don't have these gaps that we have now and we can bring people together. I think first and foremost, setting an example in the state of New Hampshire where we balance out a Republican who, yes, I am a conservative, yeah, but, you know, I got common sense, and that's what drives everything I do. And her and I working together and setting that example in the Senate is huge, because you don't see that, right? You just don't see that today. Step number one. Step number two is walking around and talking to people and going into their office and sitting down, coffee breath close, having a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is they drink, and figuring out what's most important for America and how we move forward for America. And I think people are going to be very, very receptive to that. And if they see us doing it together, Senator Shaheen and I, and some people may think that's a bridge too far, but I don't honestly think it's a bridge too far. I just don't think it's ever been, you know, really tried. And no one's ever made it, you know, a priority. And I am going to make it a priority. In the military, I had to go into all kinds of situations where people didn't agree with me. I had to sit across from the Taliban who had guns and wanted to kill me, and figure out how we're going to work together to bring peace to a district and to villages. And we were able to do it by coming together on common themes. And I think the common theme in this U.S. Senate is long-term economic prosperity, fiscal responsibility, and long-term safety and security of Americans. I think we can do it.
Our guest is General Don Bolduc, candidate for U.S. Senate. And General Bolduc, since last we spoke, we have a new commander-in-chief in Joe Biden. And I know we talked several times during the Trump administration, and you were generally happy with the way he was handling our military. Any thoughts about what's going to take place under the Biden administration?
I don't really know at this point what's going on in terms of the Biden administration's military policies and exactly how the national security that he is working on developing is going to bring our government together comprehensively. But I can tell you that I did agree with, President Biden's, targeting of the Iranian militias in Syria. I think that was a good message to send, and not only a message, but, because we shouldn't be in the quid pro quo of bombing each other. But Iran operates through proxies. That's the only thing they got left. We need to make sure that we maintain, our economic sanctions and, politically and diplomatically isolate them, expand the Abraham Accords. That really hurts Iran. They need to know that there's repercussions for, you know, bombing and going after not only U.S. interests, but U.S. personnel, whether they're civilian or military. So I think that was an early good message that he sent. I think that the Department of Defense needs to be reformed. The Department of Defense is out of control. Its budget process, its resourcing, its procurement, based on the 50s model, needs to be updated. Really hasn't gone through a reform since the late 1940s, and it is not effective and efficient at doing its job. Hey, I did four tours there, four assignments there. I know firsthand, and it didn't get any better. One of the things that I did not agree with, I don't agree with government expansion. I think our government's too big, but I didn't agree with the Space Force. I agreed with the idea of investing in space more, but we had NASA. We didn't need another four-star headquarters added to DOD, who already has a tough time with its bureaucracy and commanding and controlling what it has. We gave it another four-star headquarters. And let me tell you something. I'm a general. I know you don't solve problems by creating additional general officer headquarters. That's for sure. You create more problems, as far as I'm concerned. And so our Department of Defense, it doesn't need to be cut. It's money. It needs a reform, and that reform is only going to come from the outside because the Department of Defense is not going to reform itself. And so this reform will make us better, make us more responsible with the money, the taxpayer money that they get, and be more effective in dealing with the two biggest threats that we have out there in the military. One is violent extremist organizations, and the other one is China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. I'm looking for a better policy comprehensively so we're not continuing to push the military easy button. And I'm looking for some ideas on reforming Department of Defense because it needs to be reformed.
General, you mentioned violent extremists overseas. There also is some extremism that have bubbled up locally, including in the insurrection that happened at the Capitol that propelled an impeachment proceeding against Donald Trump. And curious as to what you thought about that proceeding, where you think the federal government is right now, including in responding to the folks that, you know, perpetrated this insurrection on the Capitol.
Right. So I think that we have a domestic terrorist issue that we have failed to deal with here as a, you know, as a country. We have to start developing laws and developing processes and procedures and policies that prevent this from happening inside our countries, whether it's the violence that we're seeing in our cities or whether it is the insurrection at the Capitol that we saw. And that basically comes down to, you know, leadership. And I know how to counter terrorism. I know how to do it against a foreign extremist organization. The same principles are followed, but in a different way domestically through law enforcement. And we need to empower our law enforcement to be able to seize their funding so they can't fund themselves, shut them down so they can't organize. And we have to have a message of unity inside this country. Everybody needs to start talking about that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think the Republican messaging and the Democrat messaging created the problem we had on the 6th. I do. And I think it's unfortunate. And I think it's just indicative of the paralysis we find ourselves in as a country. And we got to get beyond that. Both sides are responsible for what happened. And that is truly unfortunate. And that should be a lesson that we all take and we say, enough is enough, right? And we need to ensure that American citizens are safe inside their communities from domestic terror.
General, we only have like a minute left, but are you suggesting that both sides, Democrats and Republicans, are responsible for what happened in the insurrection?
I am. You mean at the Capitol that day, the rhetoric leading up to it, the fact that we weren't, both sides were. Yes, I mean, why wouldn't they be? I mean, you know, we were arguing about an election process. We were arguing about, you know, who's going to be president. We're arguing about, you know, our Constitution. We were creating anger among supporters and among the populace on both sides. And I think they need to look at each other and recognize that they're all part of the problem, and they need to stop doing what they're doing.
General Bolduc, we thank you for your time today. I know you're a busy guy, and we appreciate you being with us, and we'll have you on again. We thank you for your time today.
Thanks, General.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it. I wish the best to all your listeners, and God bless you all.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it, and thank you for your service.
Okay.
Take
you're
care.
Welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. It is Feltus and Kale here on 103.9, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. And we are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. It is Feltus and Kale, and we are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And I'll tell you what, I think with any luck, Dan, Amy Hall is on the line right now. Amy, how are you? Oh, I guess it wasn't Amy. Okay.
But, so no luck there. No luck.
Right. We're trying.
We're trying.
We are trying.
We'll make it work.
We are trying. And we are going to chat with Amy real soon. And she's going to tell us what's new with the Granite State Dairy Promotion and, of course, your New Hampshire dairy farmers.
Which are critical to our local economy. Absolutely critical.
No, they are. There's no doubt about that. And we're gearing up, Dan. As you mentioned on our show the other day, we are gearing up for the NCAA basketball tournament. But maybe we have Amy on the line right now. Amy, are you there?
I am here.
Terrific. And we've been telling everybody about our great new partnership with Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And we're happy to have you as a big part of Feltus and Kale here on WKXL.
Well, we are so thankful and honored and thrilled. It's definitely going to be a great year, and we appreciate you giving not just me a voice, but our dairy producers as well.
Well, absolutely, and certainly they will as we progress here on Feltus and Kale. It's going to be a long-term relationship with the Granite State Dairy Promotion and our great dairy farmers in the state of New Hampshire. So, Amy, today I know you wanted to focus on your refuel team. Tell us about your refuel team.
Absolutely. So what people might be wondering, what does she mean by refuel team? Well, refueling with chocolate milk, scientifically, 20-plus studies prove that it is by far a superior sports recovery beverage after a tough game, after a tough workout, and it's the official beverage of the New Hampshire Interscholastic Athletic Association, and it is also the official beverage of, and this is sort of a mouthful, Prospect Acres Obstacle Course. And they are located in Franklin, New Hampshire, and we sponsor them. They are probably 20 to 30 people strong at this point. They keep growing and growing. And what a fantastic group of people. I cannot speak highly enough about them as a team, as individuals, and as friends to the dairy industry. Now, today, who I want to talk about specifically is one of our refuel team members, Barry Reynolds. 2 weekends ago, he ran a 4:4:48 challenge. And for people who are not familiar with that, what Barry did was he ran 4 miles, every 4 hours for 48 hours straight.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yes, it's unbelievable. And I'm not typically a very emotional person, typically only when it comes to my family or my farmers. That's when you're going to get emotion out of me. And watching this man do all of this in an effort to bring about awareness to the importance of our dairy farmers, to the importance of dairy farms in the community, and also their product. And of course, 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours dictated that he had to have chocolate milk at the end of every leg. And I was just so thrilled because I was able to be there to cheer him on across the finish line and at a snowshoe race. One of his legs was actually a snowshoe race at Canterbury Shaker Village. And just the absolute mental strength it took for him to get through this was so moving. And it is really very rare. People ask me, what can we do to support our dairy industry and our dairy farmers? These are the things. You don't have to put yourself through four miles every 4 hours, that's for sure. But I think at this point, it's going to have to go beyond me saying purchase dairy products. We really need to have some activism out there. Some people who are driving attention. And in order to do that in this day and age, it has to be with something, the shock and awe factor, as you will. And my team, I could not be more proud. And I can't really call them my team. It's, you know, New Hampshire's dairy farmers team. We all love them. They do workouts on the farms. They're these crazy people that jump over fire. You know, they swing across the monkey bars, they run up over walls, things that I could never in a million years do. I've been up on the course and they've asked me, Amy, would you like to try it? To which I respond, would you like to see me fall and knock my teeth out? No, I am absolutely not going to try that. So I could go on and on, as you can tell, about this team and the support that they not only provided to Barry while he was out there, because the individual team members did run certain legs with him, but he did it, and he did it all, and I was absolutely flabbergasted at that accomplishment.
I just get worn out, you know, hearing 4, 4, 48. I mean, so how many? I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm not much of a mathematician, but I'm trying to
figure out.
No, I'm not. I don't know what my niche in life is, really, but I'm trying to figure out how many miles that is total.
I believe it works out to 48 miles
total.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to, you know, put that forward and sound dumb. So I wanted to have you say it, Amy. So
Amy, I think just thinking about it here, yep. Ken and I need some chocolate milk from our local dairy producers. Just thinking about all of that exercise.
Oh, I'm telling you, I use it after I exercise. I need to get back into shape. This past year hasn't been very good for me sitting here on the couch working from home. But you're absolutely right, Dan, is if you are out there, you don't have to be a professional athlete. You don't have to be the Olympian that drinks chocolate milk, because, yes, in fact, Olympians are drinking chocolate milk. They endorse it. You don't have to be any of those things. You could be somebody like me who's just trying to start small, running or walking a mile. It replaces what your body loses in hydration. It's mm-hmm. almost like an all-natural liquid massage for your muscles. That's what it breaks down to.
Yeah.
And not only that, but who doesn't love chocolate milk? It's absolutely delicious, and it's a really nice treat to reward your body, your muscles, and sort of your soul and spirit with after you're done, you know, with exercise or a game or a workout. It really is a beautiful thing.
Maybe someday, instead of dumping Gatorade on coaches after winning a major game, there'll be a big douse of chocolate milk.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be. Somebody's got to start that. I think that's a great idea.
You know, maybe we could get some of these Division I. I know, Ken, you've got some relationships with sports teams out there. Maybe we could go ahead and work with someone and see if we can't surprise the coach one of these days.
I think I have just the coach in mind, as a matter of fact. But I won't mention any names, but I think I have someone that might appreciate that. But, you know, I was thinking about you the other night, Amy. I was at the championship hockey game between Concord and Salem, which Concord won by a score of 7-0 to win their overall 10th hockey title for Concord High School, 8th under their head coach, Duncan Walsh. And they were mentioning throughout the game that, you know, one of the great sponsors of the NHIAA athletic program is Granite State Dairy Promotion.
Yeah, we really are. We're into health and fitness. Maybe next week we'll cover the ice cream trail a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the top priorities for our dairy producers and me and the community as a whole is really focusing on the health and nutrition benefits that dairy does provide. Could you sit down and eat ice cream and cheese all day, every day? Yes, of course you could. But there are some really quintessential, necessary vitamins and nutrients in dairy products that are nearly impossible to replace with any other food or beverage on earth. So we really try to focus on that. We'd like to start to get people, you know, back into physical health. 2020 was a rough year for all of us. Not only getting people back into physical health, but nutrition, proper nutrition. And in order to do that, dairy really should play a pretty significant role in that.
No doubt about that. And we're so happy to have you with us, Amy, as Feldis and Kale now officially presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. We look forward to it and checking in with you here on the program, and can't wait to delve into that ice cream trail for sure.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to get the scoop on that.
I like that. Maybe we'll visit a few shops, the three of us. But
that would be great. That would be great.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We will talk with you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye. There's Amy Hall, the executive director of the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Feldis and Kale presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. 103.9 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldis and Kale, proudly brought to you by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Dan, you know, these shows move along so quickly. We only have a little over a minute left.
Time flies when you're having fun, Ken.
But we know, and we mentioned it on Tuesday's show, the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness, is upon us. We unfortunately missed out on it last year, all the excitement, but this year it's going to all be in Indianapolis, or around Indianapolis anyway. That's going to be rather unusual.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, and, your UConn Huskies got a 7 seed. They play Maryland Saturday night. That'll be an interesting game. Iowa Hawkeyes, you know, my alma mater and team, they got a 2 seed. They play Grand Canyon to start out also Saturday night. So it's going to be interesting. There's a lot. It's going to be a lot of exciting games. Dare I say it will be, Ken, March Madness.
Oh, it will be. It will be March Madness for sure. No doubt about that. And we'll keep you posted. I hope that both of those teams move on, the UConn Huskies and the Iowa Hawkeyes, and so we can talk about them.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Did you fill out your bracket?
I have not as yet. I have not. I don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have not filled out the bracket yet. And by the way, today is Sloppy Joe Day. This is Sloppy Joe Day, and wouldn't a Sloppy Joe go down so much better with a glass of milk, right?
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk, of course. Yeah, yeah. Sloppy Joe and
from your local dairy producers right here in New Hampshire.
That is very, very true. And hey, congratulations to Barry Reynolds, who Amy mentioned, 4:48. Can you imagine running 48 miles in 48 hours? I mean, that's just about two marathons.
I could imagine drinking 48 glasses of chocolate milk in 48 hours.
There you go. Feldis and Kale, great to have you along with us. Join us again. We're here every morning a little after 11 o'clock and presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers.